Let's turn in our scriptures now to 1 John and chapter 2. 1 John and chapter 2. First John chapter 2, we're reading this evening verses 3 through 6. First, let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing upon the reading and preaching of His Word. Our Father, we thank You for Your breathed out Word, which is perfect for us, Your people, here even with that great purpose to give us assurance of salvation. We ask that You would do so for Your people here. Are any here, though, who perhaps have a false assurance? Or convict them of such and turn them to Your Son, Jesus Christ, that they would believe in the promises for salvation. Father, we ask that You would illumine our hearts and our minds by Your Spirit now. Grant us Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, we'll read through verse 6. These are the words of our great God. By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. That is the word of the Lord to us. May He add His blessing to the reading and now the preaching of His word. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And John is again laying down here in his book that which is to encourage believers that they would have assurance of their salvation, that those who have believed would know that they have eternal life. And what great assurances we were given last Lord's Day with the command that we are to not sin. In other words, to give no excuse to our sin or little leeway so that we would say, well, of course we're going to sin. No, He commands very clearly we are to not sin. And yet if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. Yet now, just as it was in chapter 1, we go back to that relationship with the Father. Do you know the Father? Jesus says that it's absolutely necessary to know the Father to have eternal life. And He is there for you who have eternal life as your advocate even when you sin. Jesus is. Verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know Him. And so the first question this evening that we must ask is, do you know the Father? Do you know the Father? So John is raising a question here without actually asking the question. He raises the question of the trustworthiness of our knowledge of God. Do you really know that you know Him? Are you sure that you understand Him? The question, Christian, may cause you to be blindsided and you say, I believe I know Him, I think I know Him. But some doubt may be there now, at least maybe it should be, because the Lord through John is probing. He's trying to get into the very heart of your heart. Do you really know the Father? Verse 5 suggests a little more hesitancy. We know that we are in Him. Well, I've had the idea that I'm in Him, in the sense of being united to Him in the bonds of faith and fellowship. But John is seeming to raise reservations, so do I indeed know that I am in Him? Here you must ask yourself, do I know the Father? Well, I think I know the Father. John answers here the question, at least partially, of how do I know that I know Him? He tells you very clearly how you may know that you know Him. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. You see, there are those, verse 4, who say that I do know the Father. I am a believer. I know Jesus. I know therefore the Father. I'm a Christian, and yet they do not keep the commands of God. They, in their life, in their thoughts, in their words, in their actions, are showing forth that they are not a child of God. Says the one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There's a great force behind those words. Verse 4, the warning, he does not merely lie, but he is a liar. He is defined in his being as a liar, one who lies. Not merely is it that you do not know the truth, but in that man, the truth is not. And so the question comes to be, asking this of yourself, do I know God as a mere abstraction, where I can speculate about the nature of God, or do I know doctrine, or do I know Him personally? And that's where we go back to that verse we heard in John, from John's Gospel. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. God the Father is known in Christ. And how can you know that you do really know God? By your keeping His commandments. There's this knowledge that is practical. It's not theoretical. It's not speculative, but practical. I know God in the giving of His Son to me and for me, and His giving Him to be my friend and my brother, my surety, my redeemer, giving Him to die for me on the cursed tree at Calvary. I know Him with my new mind and heart that was given to me by the Holy Spirit, created in me by the Spirit. I know God now in Christ Jesus as He has washed me from all my guilt, adopted me into His family, now an heir. I know the Father by His mercy to me and goodness to me, in which He hides me in His protection and lavishes upon me His provision. And I may assure myself, or I may have assurance of this knowing the Father and the Son truly, if I keep His commandments. You don't need a bachelor's degree to know this. You don't need a master's degree or a doctorate. You don't need any special skill or training from this world. You do not need some mystical insight or special vision or special spiritual gift or gifts. You may be ignorant of many things, even most things. You may be even ignorant of many things of God, of the Father, of the Son, of the Spirit. But do you know Him being convicted that truly you do keep His commandments? Keeping them as at once you did not care to keep them. Has there been and is there a lessening of your prideful heart? Has your independent will been broken and now dependent upon the Father, dependent upon the Son, dependent upon the Spirit? Have you been moved and set in awe of God by what you know of God? And then are you in that knowledge asking, almost instinctively asking, Lord, what would you have me to do for you? You see His words, you see His commands, and though you may struggle with obeying the Lord, do you, like Paul, long in Romans 7 to do good, to keep His commandments, knowing that you have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, pleading for you? Do you see progress in your keeping the commandments of God? over time. Do you know the Father? By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Secondly, second point, do you have the love of the Father? Do you have the love of the Father? Verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. The love of the Father is another way to ask, do you love the Father? Do you love God? Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, then you will keep His commandments. Here again, used in a different, more general way, you will keep His word. You see, if you love the Lord, you'll be shown the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus redeemed us from all lawlessness to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for what? Good works. He redeemed us so that we would be sanctified, made holy, so that we would love the Lord and thus keep His commandments, being zealous for good works. A love for the Lord will keep His word. A love for Him will search out what would please the Lord and serve the Lord. And so a love for the Lord will search the very breathed out word of the Lord to find out what that is. His word, the Scriptures. And upon searching and finding, we'll live it out or pursue it. We will exercise the word, delight in the word, because it is His word. Do you love the Father? A true keeper of the word of God loves God. And so we go from a personal knowing the Father to now a love for Him. It defines more of what this knowing of God is. It's a loving Him. It's a loving of God. And as John will show later, this is not a new commandment. He says it in the very next verse. I'm not writing a new commandment to you. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Deuteronomy 30. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice and holding fast to Him. You see, He says here, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. And what does living mean? It means loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, holding fast to Him. For He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. And so, beloved, you're being called to the same thing this evening, to choose life. In fact, you were called that in the Gospel of John, to that, to choose life, to choose Jesus, who is the life. There's no life apart from Him. And how might you have that life? How do you know? Well, how might you have the life? You have it in Jesus. How do you know that you have life? Love the Lord your God. Obey His voice, His word, Deuteronomy teaches us. And now John repeats that here. Again, this is not something new. If you know God, if you love God, then you will keep His commandments. You'll keep His words. And thus the love of God is not a love that is concealed. It's not a love that is hidden from the people around you, from the people in the church, from the people in the world. But where the Lord is center, the center of your whole life, your whole being. Why do you do what you do? He's the reason you wake up and serve Him and give up things and take on hard tasks. He is not made secret by your life. But everything about your life revolves around Him and loving Him and knowing Him and keeping His commandments. He's also not just spoken of by your tongue. as we learn in verse 4, but he is lived for in deed and in truth. But also know that it is not the keeping of the word of God that causes this love of God, or which makes that love of God perfect. That is sincere love. But rather, this love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit, right? Because the Spirit has come into the heart and is working in you. He gives us, beloved, a love for God, which is perfect. Often we think of the fruit of the Spirit, the first one being love, and that love being for one another. But it also includes the love for God. And so this is a love of God which works itself out as the cause of keeping the Word of God. His commandments, in which we owe to the grace of God, the righteousness of Christ Jesus. How do we know that we have the love of God? How do we know that we know God? If we keep His commandments, if we keep His Word. You go back to verse 4, the warning. The one who says, I have come to know Him. John is saying the same thing. Verse 5, the one who says, I have come to love Him. And does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He's saying the same thing. John is working towards comforting you, to give you assurance that you would know that you have eternal life. That you sincerely love God. Not just in words, but in your whole life. Do you sincerely love God? Because if you do, you keep His word. You keep His commandments. And so this knowing of God is personal and is a love for God. Do you know the Father? Do you have the love of the Father? Finally, now, do you abide in the Father? Do you abide in the Father? End of verse 5. By this we know that we are in Him. What does it mean to be in God? Not that we are absorbed into Him or lose ourselves, lose our personality. But this is union with God, just as we would say union with Christ. Verse 6, abiding in God, just like John 15. I, Jesus speaking, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. The bearing of fruit and abiding in Him, closely connected again, those who keep His commandments. Every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It is through our keeping the commandments of God and His word that we know that we know Him. That we know that we love Him. That we know that we abide in Him. To abide in Him is to have communion with Him. To have communion with God is to be in fellowship with Him with great joy forever and ever. United by that Spirit who grants us obedience to our Father in heaven, eternal communion and fellowship with God. Do you have that? Do you abide in God? Because there is evidence of those who do abide in God. Just as there is evidence of those who truly know God and those who truly love God. Verse 6, we have the evidence or the proof of those who truly abide in the Lord, by which we can know ourselves if we are in Him, if we're abiding in Him. It says, the one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. Here we see that if we abide in God, we will walk in the same manner as He walked. As Jesus walked. Jesus' life was a walk. A walk of what? A walk of holiness, of righteousness. Most men live as if they are not really walking, but they're lounging around, musing, dreaming, sleepwalking. Now, Jesus walked faithfully, always abiding in God, His Father, always in communion with God. In fact, we may say that Jesus' abiding in the Father is what constrained Him to walk. In other words, he was always resting in God. And so we know he was completely obedient to God. And thus he was a perfect example of how we must live. We must live, verse 1, to not sin. If we profess to be in him, as it says in verse 6, the one who says he abides in him. If we profess to be in him with our words, anyone can do that, you know. Pagans can say such things. But the true professor, the one who does not lie, is not a liar in his profession, is one who walks as Christ walked, in the same manner as Jesus walked. We must walk after his pattern, after his example. We must resemble our infallible master and conform to his course and his words. Remember, apart, John 15, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. He says also, you are my friends if you do what I command you. We must walk as Jesus walked. John 11, if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. It's not a question here of how we are saved, but rather, do you have evidence that shows forth that you are a child of God, saved by Jesus Christ unto eternal and everlasting life? Is there evidence that shows you truly know God, that you truly love God, that you truly abide in him? If you abide in God, then you are, as Peter declared, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice that if you are part of that nation, the priesthood, the race, that you proclaim, there's commandments that are being obeyed and followed. There's fruit. If the light is in you as you abide in God, then you will walk in the light of Christ. If you walk sincerely after the manner of Christ, striving towards holiness and righteousness, striving to keep his commandments, to keep his word, then you're showing yourself to be abiding in God. You might be saying, you might also say, showing to yourself that you're abiding in God. If you abide in God, then you are one who walks after the manner of Jesus Christ, where you subordinate yourself to God in all things. Again, apart from him, you can do nothing. Without him, you can do nothing. This is self-denial, but more than that, this is self-sacrifice to the Lord. Someone who abides in God, the living and true God, who is eternal, abides, has communion, has fellowship with him forever and ever. None who abide in God can be plucked from his hand. None are disunited. None are cast out. None are forsaken. Because if you abide in him, he abides in you. Because as you walk after Christ, some of you are asking again, but I can't walk exactly how Christ walked. Those temptations from verse 1 are coming back up. I can't walk exactly how Christ walked. I'm going to sin. I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. But don't forget that context of verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. It is possible that you not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. One commentator says, you abide in him by faith. You who are under a sense of sin and danger have fled to Christ as a strong tower and place of defense. There you dwell safely, peaceably, pleasantly, and comfortably, enjoying whatever is necessary for you, for he gives you all that you need. Beloved, before us, we must ask the questions to ourselves. Do I know the Father? Do I love the Father? Do I abide in the Father? And you can only answer these questions with an affirmative answer only if you keep his commandments. Keep his word. And all you do, you're striving after walking in the same manner as Christ walked, imitating him, imitating Christ, as Paul imitated him. Remember, 1 Corinthians 11, we'll see it again. Paul, as I imitate Christ, you are to imitate me, he said. Was it perfectly? No, Romans 7. But it was still a following after. It still wasn't imitating. Are you truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Saved? A Christian? Part of the body of Christ? Part of the church? Do you have eternal life? The answer lies, at least partially, or we might say one way. The answer lies in the answer to the questions the text is asking us. Do I know the Father? Do I love the Father? Do I abide in the Father? And so do you keep His commandments? Do you keep His word? Are you striving to walk after the same manner as Christ walked? Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we praise You for Your Son Jesus Christ, who walked perfectly for us, righteous and holy, strengthened by the Holy Spirit to do so, constrained by the Father because He was in communion with the Father, having fellowship with Him. And so He walked perfectly, keeping Your commandments. And Father, we ask that You would cause us to walk in a manner after Him, to imitate Him, that You would perfect us and strengthen us, that we would not sin. Cause us to see, any here who know You, cause us to see that we truly know You, that we truly love You, we truly abide in You. And Lord, we know these things if we keep Your commandments. If we keep Your commandments, if there is genuine fruit, if there is genuine keeping of Your commandments, then why would we doubt? For here in Your word, You promise that we know You if we keep Your commandments. We know that we love You if we keep Your commandments, keep Your word. That we know we abide in You if we walk in the same manner as Christ walked. So let us not doubt Your promises. In fact, let us strive to believe Your promises, for that is another evidence of our salvation in Christ alone. That we have eternal life. And Father, we ask that You would give us that other evidence, the Spirit testifying with our own. Father, we ask these things. Give us comfort in this life, that we would know we have eternal life and continue pursuing You all the more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.